Welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review. Our several-year mission will be to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. We will be reviewing every Star Trek comic book ever published. These stories have been released by Gold Key, Marvel, DC, Malibu, Wildstorm, Tokyo Press, IDW, and others. Star Trek and all that the Star Trek universe contains is copyrighted by CBS Studios, Inc.
Hello and welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review with Donovan and Ken. Episode number 444, recorded February 9th, 2025.
And today's a Star Trek Comic Book Presents, where we're going to review Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, issues I should have included the presents in there.
That's all right. It's all good, Ken. And so, we're continuing the Peter David miniseries that we started last episode.
Yes. So first two issues in the last episode, the middle two issues in this episode, and then we got two more. And I think we're going to have to finish it.
Oh, we have to.
I don't see the reason we can't.
I can't not know how this ends.
Yeah. This is going through a bit of a roller coaster. I mean, Peter David is throwing the kitchen sink into this thing. So many callbacks and so many characters are popping up from the... Well, mostly, quite frankly, from the TOS original BSG series. Right.
Yeah, I think he's throwing in some of the little things from the original or the remake too. So
that's true.
That's what I always like about Peter David. He goes all in and will just like pick little things from, you know, like I love his Star Trek stuff where he'll just bring in like a character from the animated series or the original series and just make them into something else. Like, this is what RX did after the events of Star Trek, the animated series. You know, it's just like, I just really like Peter David. And he's doing it again here with the Battlestar franchise.
With the Battlestar. Yes, he is. Definitely, we were just talking about Count Ibis, who popped up in these books. Really was not expecting that. I completely forgot that Kara Thrace had a husband, but throw him in.
Same. Yeah. Yeah. That was
Sam. And I remember the character. I just didn't remember that he was married to her.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that too. So, but it's been a few years since I've watched the reboot.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. But man, talk about a great show. That was great sci-fi TV, the reboot.
Right.
The original had its charms, but
sure. Yeah, I like the original too. Mm-hmm. But I never did get into Caprica. I know that you watched it, and I kind of know what happened through you. But I don't know why that one didn't grab me like the others did.
Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you just start running out of ideas. They also had that whole thing where they went back in time to when Adama was a Viper pilot.
Yeah, the blood and chrome miniseries.
Exactly.
Yeah, that one was actually pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
But, you know, they tried to, you know, keep something going, but in the end, they did not. They did not. And now the reboot of the reboot. so that they've been talking about that forever.
Yeah, since it first went up.
Is that dead or is it not?
Who knows?
Is it still alive?
It's been last so I heard it was still alive, but I haven't heard any new news in a long time.
Anyway.
Whatever they decide to do, I will watch it.
Yes, me too. Okay, so shall we begin today's books?
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm doing issue 3, and that has a published date of March 2018. Writer Peter David, artist Johnny Desjardins, maybe, if I'm pronouncing that right. Colorist Mohan, letterer Taylor Esposito. Again, four editors, and I'll just mention it this time, but Joe Rybrandt, Matt Idelson, Anthony Marquis, and Kevin Kettner. So we got a bunch of covers, not as many as issue 1, but we got a lot of covers. I think 7. So the first one, which I really like this one. So it's got kind of a close up of both battle stars that are like nose to nose, as if they're going to, you know, duke it out. And they've got the red nearby gaseous anomaly or whatever is casting a red glow everywhere. I like the cover quite a bit by Adam Lebowitz. Cover B features the two Baltars. The Taz version in a hooded cloak is standing over the reboot version, who is on his belly and reaching out for help. And this one's by Johnny DeHardin. Cover C presents an image of the two versions of Colonel Ty toy figures in their peg packaging. One, Terry Carter, and the other, the Michael Hogan versions. And they look pretty accurate. And this one's by Michael Adams, as he has done all of those. Cover D presents, again, the two versions of Baltar. The Taz version, John Colicos, is in the upper half, and he does look quite a bit like the actor. And the other, the reboot version of Baltar, that, quite frankly, in my opinion, only superficially looks like James Callis. And that one's by Johnny DeHardin. And cover E presents the black and white version of cover D. Cover F presents the black and white version of cover B. And cover G presents the virgin version of cover A. In the BSG reboot universe slash time frame, Mr. Starbuck learns poker quickly and wins many pots while Ms. Starbuck watches with interest. Finally, the other players drop out and the booze runs out. Ms. Starbuck invites the Mr. to her quarters where there's more booze. Mr. Starbuck happily takes her up on the offer. Colonel Saul Ty is on the Taz Galactica Bridge speaking to Colonel Ty. They compare notes as to how different their bridges are when the Pegasus emerges from the wormhole. Sheba is surprised and crying with joy over the assumed return of her father. She heads over to the Pegasus and Saul Ty joins her. President Hadi speaks to Commander Adama and Apollo in a conference room loaded with more politicians. By the end of the conversation, the president is convinced they should be joining forces, at the very least because two battle stars are better than one when the Silens come a-calling. And they do tend to do that a lot. Meanwhile, on the Taz Galactica, Saul Ty meets Commander Kane, and then Lizard Lady Callie. He is struck by the strangeness of the first alien he has ever met. Callie asks to meet Admiral Adama, and Ty is fine with it, as is Kane, who wants to accompany them with a few of his people. In one of the reboot Galactica's Viper bays, the two Adamas and Taz Apollo approach the shuttle and meet Lizard Lady. While they are talking and Admiral Adama is getting pissed about all the new people on his ship, a robed figure listens from the shadows and then moves on. The hooded figure goes to Gaius Baltar's jail cell and introduces himself as Count Baltar. Gaius is not happy about being imprisoned for treason, and though he is confused over this strange man with the same name as his, he likes the Count's offer of releasing him. Meanwhile, President Rosalind is having a meal with Commander Adama, and during the meal, she puts her hand on his. Admiral Adama enters the room, but when he sees they're busy, he leaves. Meanwhile, in Kara's bunk, she and Starbuck are smoking cigars, post doing the dirty, and quite contented. Starbuck says he'd better get back to Apollo before he comes looking, and in the middle of dressing, a man enters demanding to know who Starbuck is. When Starbuck introduces himself, the man angrily asks if that is a joke and punches him. Kara calls the man, who is her husband, Sam, and lightly chastises his actions while barely covering herself with the bedsheets. Mr. Starbuck kicks Sam in the nutsack. Starbuck berates Kara for not telling him she was married. He is not that kind of guy, and the two men end up walking off together, angry at Kara. Meanwhile, in the pokey, Number six appears to Gaius, warning him not to go with the Count because he is evil. He ignores her warnings and leaves with this Balternet. To be continued in Count on Me.
So, it's been a while since I've watched all of classic Battlestar. But from what I remember, classic Baltar is evil just to be evil, right? He's just the stereotypical...
Yeah, he's the
mustache twirling.
Exactly.
I betrayed humanity and got the colonies destroyed because I'm evil. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think there was a point when the Cylons finally got sick of him and he tried to get back with Commander Adama and company. But yeah, he was just a, you know, a one-dimensional villain.
Yeah, that's the way I remember him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where Baltar in the reboot is a very... He's a nuanced and complex person who he was duped into what he did. So it wasn't like he consciously betrayed the colonies.
Right. Yeah, he's a little messed up in the head.
But he's messed up in the head, yeah. And I really don't remember the exact explanation for how number six continued to be in his head. But then she finally shows up in reality. And anyway, maybe it's just because he was just going a little nutso with his guilt. I don't know.
Right.
And by the way, did you hear where I referred to him as Balternet?
I did.
Or Baltarnet?
Very, you know, very cute choice of words. No, I did not.
Well, there was a great TV series. I thought it was really good. It was a J.J. Abrams TV series, Fringe. And when they finally got to the point of that whole series, which is alternate realities crossing over, Walter, who was, you know, he was the father who was wacky and scientist, mad scientist kind of guy, very fun character. And when they saw his opposite number in the other dimension, they referred to him as Walternet.
Gotcha.
His name was Walter, and then Walternet. I thought that was kind of cute, so I used that for Baltar. Balternet.
I did like how the classic Baltar couldn't see Six, but he knew that she was there. I thought that was an interesting take.
Yeah.
What do you think he can see?
He's perceptive.
I don't know. He says,
no, I don't think he can see her.
Because he says, who's the woman you're talking to? And then he's like, oh, you can see her? And he's like, no, but I know she's there, or something like that. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, didn't he say something like, but I know you think she's there. So
right.
He was going with it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess based on what he was actually saying out loud to the air, he derived that it's some hot blonde or something. I don't know. He's just very observant.
Well, yeah, he's a perceptive person and evil.
Yes. He just needs the mustache.
There you go. Okay.
So speaking of hot blonde, what do you think of Kara's drawings?
Doesn't look much like the actress.
Zero like her.
Exactly. Well, you know, quite frankly. Okay, so in the next issue, we're going to get a different artist. So I look forward to comparing and contrasting the artwork in the next issue. But yes, Johnny DeSardinis or whatever. He just is not that worried about drawing anybody like the original actor. You know, maybe every once in a while Adama looks okay, Admiral
right.
Adama. But Commander Adama never looks right, ever. And Kara never looks right. But yeah, so she's drawn pretty sexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, like we said before, President Roslin.
There was quite a few times in this book too where I didn't know who she was, like when she's given that little like speech the fifth or sixth page. I was just like, who's this? Why is she wearing a business suit? And then I'm like, oh, that's supposed to be her.
Yeah,
I thought she was some lawyer or something at first.
Yeah. Oh, business school hottie President Roslin. Yeah. Okay, so the next artist gets her more right, at least.
just gives her the glasses.
In the next one.
That teased me off. Oh, okay. It's the glasses girl.
The glasses help. Okay, we're going to... Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But yeah, so the artwork, again, doesn't look like the actors, right, for the most part.
Right.
But in the next issue, there's an absolutely amazing WTF moment in that book. Well, what the hell were they thinking? But exactly. We'll talk about that in the next book.
Based on our suspicions, the Starbucks do end up getting together. Mm-hmm. And I did like all their little banter back and forth about,
mm-hmm,
next time someone tells me to frack myself, I can say I did. You know, that kind of thing. It's kind of funny.
Already did it.
Because it is kind of fitting, especially with his character. I mean, I guess she was kind of like that too, but from watching the old shows, he was definitely like that.
Oh, he was a horn dog, and so is she.
Right.
And the thing is, she was a lady, or, you know, a female, you know, a woman, and you're not supposed to do that. That's not what you're supposed to do. But, you know, she was the kind of character that didn't care. She went with life, and all the theories about what she really was by the end of the reboot series is very interesting. Very interesting character.
Yeah. What was she? An angel or something? I did not like
it. I didn't like that either, how she just disappeared in the last episode. I didn't like that. But, I mean, you knew there was something weird about her. At one point, she was able to take on, like, 8 Cylons or something. And it's like, nobody could do that. You know, 8 different ships,
right,
against her one fighter. No, nobody could do that. There was something different about her. But they never really explained it. I think the only word I heard was, you know, she was some kind of angel or something. So it's like, oh, okay.
Right. Anyway.
Well, okay. So the story continues. I like it because they got the mystery box going where, you know, there's deceit all over the place. And you know that Lizard Lady is the nexus of it, right?
Right.
So she's the nexus of it, but how many people are in her employ? How many people are in on her thing? And where is it going to end up going? And what's interesting is, you know, some of the good guys are starting to figure it out, or at least figuring out possibilities. Or maybe I'm jumping into the next issue. I think I'm jumping to the next issue a little bit. But anyway. Lizard Lady was manipulating Saul Tai when she met her, or when she met him, and almost using a little bit of what, sexual guile or something? Ooky. But she is in the metal bikini.
Yeah, so what is she doing there? I mean, is she using some kind of pheromones or something to sway him, or is it just because he really is surprised because this is the first non-human he's ever met?
I think she's trying to use some manipulation and maybe some sexual manipulation, because she is actually like petting the side of his face, right?
Right. Yeah. No, she's holding like his chin and.
Yeah.
And she says, so, you don't even know who you are or something like that, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, and you know why. Anyway.
He's a Cylon, right?
He's a Cylon, yes.
Right. That's what I thought. That's why I was remembering it. But I had a question because, I guess we'll wait till the next issue. But so here she seems okay with him being a Cylon and not knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
But all right. But then I'll just spoil it. Next episode issue, she meets Boomer and she's very antagonistic towards her.
Yes. Yes.
So why the difference?
Well, I think it's complete. Well, and when she gets antagonistic towards Boomer, Boomer is standing right next to another Cylon, and she doesn't react to Chief Tyrell. So all of this is manipulation, all of it.
Mm.
So, okay, kind of theory going on. So she obviously wants to get on to the reboot Galactica, right?
Right.
So she's getting Ty to bring her over, and if it's somebody who is the XO of the reboot Galactica, then nobody's going to ask any questions. So she's trying to manipulate him to do it. And then Kane jumps on saying, oh, yes, I'd like to go too. And I need to bring some extra people. So right. That's.
And we know Kane's been brainwashed or whatever because he got knocked out in issue one. And
brainwashed or replaced?
Oh, you think he's a Cylon?
Well, okay. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but in the reboot TV show, you eventually found out, or at least you pretty much found out who all the Cylons were by right. the end. And there were lots of surprises, but there were only a limited number of models. And right. it wasn't like they weren't shapeshifters.
No,
they were just people made. They were just robots that were made to look like people. Like replicants or whatever from Blade Runner. And it's not like they could just change their faces. So the idea that he's a Cylon is maybe stretching things a bit. I mean, Kane, I'm talking about.
Right.
The idea that Kane is a Cylon is kind of stretching things a bit. Because we never saw a Kane model.
Right.
Right. And then there's more people we're going to see that it's like, wait a minute. Now we're seeing more models being presented that was never in the TV show, the reboot TV show. We're going to see more Cylons in the next issue. Anyway.
Yeah, but so, I didn't see anybody that I didn't recognize from the show. Well, we'll talk about it.
Oh, really?
All right, okay. At least I thought they were.
We'll talk.
I mean, the artwork is iffy, so I had to like squint my eyes a little bit and be like, yeah, that's Dean Stockwell. Okay, let's go.
So,
we'll talk about it in a second.
Okay, so she's trying to get them over to the reboot Galactica. I'm pretty sure that Baltar came across on that shuttle, that same shuttle.
Yeah, he was the one.
Exactly. And he probably came off of the shuttle that Callie and Kane were in, and he was one of the people, you know, scientists or whatever they were talking about, diplomats, whatever, that Kane wanted to bring across. So there's another piece of the pie, Baltar. And it's like, is that the real Baltar? So the real Baltar has been talked into doing this? Or are they trying to say he's a replicant or a robot too?
Mm.
It's like, what's going on here? But maybe all that she did talk. I think we already found out that she had spent a long, timey-wimey time in, right. you know, with that ancient race's technology. So maybe she learned how to make Cylon, human, skin jobs. There you go. Maybe she learned how to make skin jobs, so she was able to make a Kane. She was able to make a Baltar. Who knows? Anyway.
Yeah, because Baltar showing up kind of is a little troublesome because this takes place right after Kane, you know, we thought Kane died on the Pegasus.
Right.
And at that time, Baltar's like living on, you know, the base star or whatever, and kind of calling all the shots for the Cylon. So I was a little confused as to why he suddenly showed up on the planet with her and stowed aboard the Pegasus. But we do know that the classic Cylons were there fighting. Wasn't the classic Cylons and the new reboot Cylons both on that planet where the Pegasus showed up to save Kali? So maybe
were Baltar's, they both there?
At least the reboot ones were, weren't they?
I think it was the reboot ships. Yes. Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes. Which was odd. I mean, what was the reboot? That's right. We think we commented on that. What were the reboot Cylon Raiders ships, fighter ships? What were they doing in the TOS universe?
Right.
Right. That planet in the TOS universe where what's her name was. Anyway. So they definitely want to get over there. But why? I mean, was it the express purpose to say that thing about Boomer to try to anyway, there. Okay, so she's trying to get the two Galacticas to fight each other, or at least to not trust each other so they're easier pickings.
Right.
Or so things seem.
And it definitely seems she's trying to pit the reboot crew against the classic crew. So for whatever reason, she's wanting to be with the reboot side and not the classic side. So
yeah, or at least sow some of her seeds of discontent because they're spending a lot of time on the new Galactica so far.
Right.
I mean both Adamas.
Right, right. Stuff. Well, we'll see more of her plan next issue.
Yes, we will.
Do you have anything else for this issue, or should we just go straight into it?
I got a lot more.
Okay, good.
Okay, so I completely forgot about the idea that Kara was married to Samuel T. Longshot Anders. And of course, that's the guy who showed up in this issue to punch Mr. Starbuck in the face.
Mm-hmm. I forgot.
So that was, I forgot they were married. So that's cool.
And he doesn't do much, though. I mean, I hate that he just shows up, gets kicked in the nards, and then walks off, and that's his whole story arc in this issue.
Yeah, he doesn't do much so far. I thought it was so funny that they're both smoking cigars after you know, doing the dirty. I find that funny. That is so correct for both characters. I love the jokes about Felgacarb.
The toothpaste again?
Exactly. And I actually did a search on Google, and I actually found that somebody did a mock-up of a tube of toothpaste, a Crest tube of toothpaste, and it says Felgacarb on the label. It's great. It's very funny. So Felgacarb, of course, is a euphemism for crap or BS. That's what Felgacarb is. Okay. I also thought it was ooky and weird that Rosalind was putting her hand on Commander Adama's hand and was like, is she a Cylon that's trying to get the two Adamas to fight over her or something? It just seemed very odd.
Yeah, she's very affectionate to Colonel Green or Lauren Green.
Lauren Green?
Yeah.
Who doesn't look like Lauren Green? Yes. So Commander Adama, old guy, and she looks like, you know, 20-something whatever, which is weird, and then she's putting her hands on his. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Unless she's a Cylon, too, who's trying to manipulate. And then...
She just sees something in him, and she likes him. I'm not thinking she's a Cylon.
Well, okay, so she may not be a Cylon, but she is trying to manipulate him because she wants him to stay, then that's what her thing is. She'd like to have two battle stars to protect the civilian ships.
Right.
And so she's trying to manipulate him maybe a little bit using her college age 20-something charms.
I will say that that's something I really liked about these books is that with special effects, we often look at the old Star Trek and the old Battlestar and think it's kind of hokey and not as futuristic or up to date as the reboots. I love that all the dialogue in this do say that this old Battlestar is just as powerful as the new Battlestar, even though it doesn't look as sleek and futuristic. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do say that, you know, it is still an incredibly powerful ship.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Those Battlestars, they can take a pounding too, because they haven't got shields or anything. Your hull's got to take a lot of abuse when you are firing your cannons broadside with a base star.
Okay, but I did. Anyway, keep going.
Oh, you go. Go.
I wanted to talk about the comparison of the two battle stars, which I just did.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's fine. Go ahead.
So my last thing on this issue is I just want to comment on the drawing and how poor it is. Sorry. I mean, a lot of it's good. A lot of it's good. Better than I could do. But I got to tell you, there is a part where Baltar is finally pissed off and tells the magical six that only he can see, shut the frack up. And when he does that, he looks nothing like the actor, and he looks more like Tarzan. Like Tarzan.
He looked like Steve Tyler. Like, to me. I thought it was Steve Tyler from Aerosmith. I was like, hey.
Okay, so he's belting out a song. Okay, that's
right. Fine. Yeah, nope, I agree with you.
Anyway, okay. I think Johnny doesn't do well with mouths. He's got some problem with mouths. It just doesn't look right. So definitely when Baltar is screaming, shut the frack up, the mouth just doesn't look right. Just, I don't know what it is. It's just not right. And then there's a part where Kira is... you know, shouting at Sam, and neither of their mouths look right. And then there's another one where Admiral Adama is pissed off and talking about all these people on his vessel he doesn't know about, and his mouth doesn't look right. And then, oh my God, when Sheba finds out or sees the Pegasus coming through the wormhole and knows her father's still alive, she's got a stupid, dumb Disney princess look on her face. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's a cute picture. I like that one.
I don't. Well, no, it's cute, but it's like, oh my God, she just looks like a vapid, brainless. Why are you drawing her like that? I don't know. I don't like it. Sorry.
No, I agree that the artwork is a little weird. But you didn't mention that there's a shot of Apollo.
Yeah.
Classic Apollo.
Okay, yes.
He's with Admiral Adama.
Yes.
And he looks like Mo Howard or something. I was just like...
I agree.
He's got this pursed lip face in his... I was like, is that Mo?
Well, I don't think I thought he was Mo. But he was like, wow, he's drawn totally nothing like Richard Hatch and in a totally new way.
Right.
I got to go back and look at that again. But yeah, I mean, it was like, oh my God. Oh, okay. I kind of see the Mohawk when his eyes are really big.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking at Callie for the first time.
Right.
Oh, oh Larry. Yeah. Mo Howard. Okay. Yeah, I guess I can kind of see that. Yeah, he looks completely different from the first two issues, doesn't he?
No. No.
Panels?
Inconsistent. Even in the next panel, he looks different.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Next.
Shall we move on?
I'm done.
All right. So the next issue, issue 4. This has a cover date of April 2018. Several covers. So the first one shows... it's all white for the most part, and it shows, like, I guess a base star and then some Cylon Raiders coming out, some reboot ones. That is by Adam Liberwitz. Then there's another cover B by Johnny Desjardins, and it shows the two Adamas head-to-head, forehead-to-forehead, literally touching, screaming at each other. Cover C is by Michael Adams, and it is the action figure cover. And it shows the classic and the new Boomers. Cover D is by Roberto Castro. And it shows, I guess it's both Boomers again, but this time looks like a comic book page. Half classic, half reboot. And then we have a couple of black and white ones. And then a virgin cover of the original one with the all white Cylon Raider. Art staff is different on this issue. It is by... Edu Mina, but aside from that, the writer, colorist, letterer, everything else is the same. So the story starts with Reboot Adama and Ty meeting privately with Kali, the possible mother of all classic Cylons. She starts to sow doubt into the two about the motivations of the classic Battlestar crew. Elsewhere, the robed Baltar duos are making their way through the ship. Classic Baltar proudly states how they are traitors to humanity, you know, in his classic evil commenting form. I don't know. It's just so one-dimensional. Reboot Baltar claims that he's not a traitor, and he's able to let his hood slip back, and he's discovered by the Reboot Starbuck. So she orders him to be rearrested, and the classic Baltar sneaks away. Back in the brig, Reboot Baltar tells Ty that his counterpart also said something about the classic BSG crew being up to something nefarious. Reboot Adama meets in the morning with the president, who just happens to have Commander Adama in her room, and they were there all night. Reboot Adama tells the president and his counterpart that they now have two separate accounts that the classic BSG crew is up to something. And he's referring to Kali and the Baltar. Meanwhile, somewhere in space on the Cylon base star, the humanoid Cylons get a visitor from the classic era, and this is a guy named Count Iblis. Iblis tells them that he really likes this new universe because the Cylons are so easy to control. The skin jobs say that that's impossible, yet all Iblis has to do is order them to kneel, and then every Cylon on the base star does so before their new master. Back on the Battlestar Galactica, Reboot Adama takes Kali on a tour of the ship where she bumps into Boomer. She seems very shocked that the humans are allowing Cylons to serve aboard the ship. Elsewhere on the Pegasus, Sheba meets with her father about how he is starting to act a little weird. She points out on his mission to find Kali, there was some unaccounted time. He then abruptly accuses her of being a traitor and actually has his beloved daughter thrown into the brig. The Adamas meet again, and Classic Adama accuses the Reboot crew that they are making a huge mistake by trusting any type of Cylon. And he's referring to Boomer being a part of their crew. An impasse is not met, and the Classic Adama returns to his ship. To be continued.
Well, I guess Kali got what she wanted. Pitting the Adamas against each other.
Yeah, I'm still like, I haven't read ahead, so I don't know what the resolution is, but I still want to know why she was so, she had such a problem with Boomer and doesn't have a problem with Ty. If she's able to tell who they are.
Yeah, and Chief Tyrell, who's standing right next to Boomer.
Right.
So I think she can spot all the Cylons, but she's only going to say something if it benefits her. And Boomer has already demonstrated that she's gone over the side of the humans. So
she's not really upset with Boomer. She's just doing a show so that the Classic crew would have something against the Reboot crew. Is that really all it is? It's just her.
That's what I think her wedge
is. Okay.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I was taking it at face value. I was like, why is she so upset now? But now you're absolutely right. It's all a show.
Exactly.
She's just trying to
manipulate. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the whole idea that Commander Adama would react in the way he did to what Admiral Adama is doing, especially since Commander Adama has never had any experience with skin jobs before. It just seems like he's definitely playing right into Callie's hands, and I'm kind of surprised at what a strong reaction he has.
Yeah, but I get it. I mean, he's never seen a good Cylon before, where at least Commander Adama or Admiral Adama has.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, from Lauren Green's point of view, they're all evil. all they do is destroy humanity. Not only humanity, but all the other alien races too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Cylons are much. I mean, they're basically the Daleks of Battlestar, where they just go from planet to planet to destroy. You know, whereas on the Reboot, it was just they're just going after the humans because those are the only two races in the universe. Well,
exactly. There only are humans.
Right.
And they're killing their creators. So, which is such an old story.
Yeah. But I kind of like the, from the few episodes I watched of the original series last week. I like the idea that they're just their own race and that the Cylon warriors and stuff are just robot sentries and stuff, and that there's really these organic Cylons that are like the supreme leader and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't look like Kali, but they didn't. They never showed them without their robes and stuff.
Oh,
and I guess they could be hot lizard women underneath.
Well, they never showed, I mean, other than the Cylons, the flesh and blood Cylons, who are really flesh and blood. Did they ever show other alien races in TOS? I don't think so.
In TOS? Yeah. No.
Did they?
Lots. Yeah, lots.
Remember did they have a lot of...
They went to the cantina in the first episode. Yeah.
Space Vegas.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of alien races.
Were there aliens there? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like Reboot because there aren't any aliens. And we created them. We created the Cylons. Mm-hmm. And it's our fault. So something about that just seems just so much more realistic.
Right.
Meaty dramatic. I like how all that went down, but
and
the paranoia of having skin jobs running around, and you don't know who is who.
Right. Yeah, and it definitely, you know, makes you feel like you're out there all by yourself. Whereas, you know, the original series, you know, every other week you could bump into another colony or whatever, and you know, you had all these like safe ports that you could potentially maybe find, you know, safety
supplies, help, or something.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas in the old, in the new show, it was just you, baby. You're out there.
Yep. All on your own.
And I love the man. They did such a great job with that opening, where every episode started with how many ships were left and how many people were left, and then it just kept ticking down throughout the show.
Yeah.
Very well done. So anyways, enough about the shows.
So we're moving forward. We see Callie's plan to divide and likely conquer has reached at least its dividing objective.
Right.
So interesting. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next. And then also that it's obvious now, we know for a fact, we suspected it, we were pretty sure about it, but we know for a fact that Commander Kane, who oddly enough looks just like Lauren Green, is completely in the pocket of Callie because he throws his own daughter in the brig.
Right. So, yeah. So Callie already has complete control over the Pegasus.
Yeah,
that's 100% proven now, right? So whatever happened in that little time frame where he got knocked out by that random dude, and then, and I like that Sheba's kind of put that together, and even's like, hey, you were kind of incognito there for a while. What happened? You know, I love that she figured it all out, and that she's
well, she didn't figure it all out,
but she knew something happened.
She figured half of it out,
right?
But now, she's if she would have figured all of it out, she might have thought twice about confronting him with it alone.
Right.
So, but he didn't figure it all out.
But in that scene, oh my God, why did the artist mess up so bad?
For folks, if somebody's listening, that might not have the books and just listening to us, they drew Lloyd Bridges, who played Kane. They're drawing Kane to look exactly like Lauren Green. And good God, it looks like Lauren Green. So we got a new artist, and the old artist was not that good at looking like the actors. But now we got a new artist who, at times, in panels, is doing a good job making the characters in the book look like the original actors. But oh my God, Kane looks like Lauren Green's Adama, not like Lloyd Bridges' Kane.
Right. Even down to the uniform and everything. He's not even wearing Kane's uniform. He's wearing Adama's uniform. Exactly. It is so weird.
And it's almost photorealistic, the drawing.
But Sheba looks bad. She doesn't look anything like that actress.
No, it depends upon the panels. In some panels, you're right. But in some panels, like, for instance, there's that part where she's laughing.
Yeah.
And, you know, smiling and laughing. That looks a lot like Anne Lockhart.
Okay.
But a lot of the other ones, you're right. A lot of the other panels, not so much. And then there's another one where she's got kind of had droopy eyes and she's talking to her father. That looks a lot like Anne Lockhart, too. So maybe there's two panels, three panels that look like Anne Lockhart, and then the other eight don't.
It's just a very and how many pages is it? So like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages of this conversation, and it just like it completely takes you out of the book, because she's obviously talking to her dad. She's calling him dad, but he looks nothing like her dad. He looks like Adama, but with blonde hair. Like, it's like the colorist, like,
yeah, that's a good point.
This,
it's not,
this is supposed to be Kane, so I better color his hair yellow and nobody will notice that it's the wrong dude.
Oh my God. It's just so shocking. I mean, obviously Peter David is not on a QA team, because you know, if he would have seen this, it was like, what are you doing?
I was thinking the same thing. What did he think when he saw the book finished? Yeah. Like, wait, who's this?
Wait a minute. Yeah. And speaking of the drawings, we got a new artist in this one, and his name is Edumina. Edu, or is that how you pronounce it?
Edu? I don't know.
Edu, whatever. Edu, yeah. So when I first started reading this, it was like, oh, Elisa Dama looks a lot more, even more so in many panels, like Edward James Olmos. But yeah. Oh my God, Callie looks different. I mean, the first thing we were seeing Lizard Lady, it's like, wait a minute. She's very different looking from in the, I mean, in general means she looks the same. She's still got the light green, almost an aqua, almost green.
Yeah.
Coloration. And she, but if you look at her face, she looks like a 17-year-old supermodel. Her cheeks are a little bit puffy, like a little bit of baby fat. She's got the big, full lips, and she just looks like a little 17-year-old supermodel underneath all the weird alien affectations. And I grabbed a clip from the first books, and I'm comparing them side by side, a different take.
Yeah.
Facial details are a bit different. And it was like, that was first, oh my gosh, this. And then I look back at, oh, this is a different artist. And then, and I think you might have brought it up when we talked about the first book, but there's another thing where they've got Apollo in one panel. And the guy that they present, who's supposed to be Commander Adama's son, supposed to be Apollo, looks absolutely nothing like Apollo. Nothing like Richard Hatch. He's not even in a uniform. And he's got like light brown hair or rusty brown, medium brown hair. It's like, where are you getting that? Anyway. And then, if I may continue on characters, at least President Rosalind looks a little older. And she definitely has glasses that at times Mary McDonnell wore right. When she was playing the character. And she looks kind of frumpy, though. Where she was looking at like some business school hottie or something, you know, skinny little thing and all that kind of stuff. Here she looks a little more frumpy.
Well, she stayed up all night. She's running on E right now.
But yeah, she's got like auburn hair, you know, like a brown red hair, which is spot on. So better. You know, better depiction of President Rosalind.
Right. But on those scenes where she's with the two Adamas, mm-hmm. I think the classic Adama looks nothing like Lauren Green. I mean,
well,
I think
quite
you're
frankly,
right.
The classic Adama, at times, he looks like Edward James Olmos. It's like, don't confuse me here. So it doesn't he? It's like,
yeah, no,
okay.
In that one shot of him in profile, exactly. He does look like
right.
Edward James almost.
And it's like, oh, well, it's a good thing that they drew, Admiral Adama with glasses, or else you get confused. And then, of course, you know, Commander Adama doesn't have any glasses. But,
right.
My gosh. I mean, yeah, that's something.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, again, billion times better than I could have ever done, but it just seems wildly inconsistent panel to panel sometimes.
Wildly. That's right.
So can we talk about the big guest star that art-wise?
Iblis. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Iblis, as played by Liberace. Although I did go back and look. This is what he looks like in the show. But when I first was reading it and I didn't remember who Iblis was, I was like, who's the Liberace guy? and then I had, after I finished reading it, I had to go back and do some research and found the two episodes he was in where he played the devil.
Yeah. And they actually, I forgot whether it was when finally somebody shot him with a blaster or something, but there's actually some parts of the book where Iblis, who is supposed to be basically the devil of the Taz universe of Battlestar, where he turns into like a goat horned, his head changes into like a goat head or something.
In the episode.
And it's like in the episode, right?
Yeah,
in the original
right.
episode and stuff. And it's like, oh, it's Patrick McNee, the guy who played John Steed in the Avengers, the TV show Avengers.
Right.
And it was like, when I first saw that, I was saying, oh, it's Baltar. But he's got a different outfit now. And then it's like Iblis. They call him Iblis. Like, that's Baltar. What? And then I did a quick search, and it's like, oh, Iblis, Count Iblis. And then it started to come back to me. And then I read up a little bit, and then I saw some photos. It was like, oh, yeah, I remember.
Right.
Anyway. So here's Peter David throwing another classic character in, who I think just showed up in the one or two episodes.
Yeah,
it might have been a two-parter. I don't recall.
It was a two-parter. Yeah,
was it? So throw another one in there. And by the way, he doesn't look like Patrick McNee. Not really. I'm not quite sure who he looks like, quite frankly. But
yeah, no. I mean, it's amazing that he shows up. He's talking to the mm-hmm. Cylons.
Yep.
And then he's just like, oh, you're so easy to control. And then I loved it when they're like, you can't control us. And he's like, kneel. And then it just shows them all kneeling. I loved it. It was such a good story progression with the panels. It just like.
Yeah. Now, is Iblis working with Callie?
Callie? I don't know.
Or is he just a new variable introduced right. into this?
Yeah, he's like, what if Trelane showed up, and then what could he do with him? Right. Yeah, he was definitely coming off as a Trelane look. He has that cloak and everything.
A Trelane / Liberace look.
Yes. To me, it's all the same person.
Okay, so he shows up on a base star, okay? Right. And this is a base star. It's a reboot base star, not a TOS base star. Because we've got the really tall Cylons, and then you've got three skin jobs. And then one of the three skin jobs is Boomer. Okay, fine. That's cool. You know, we know there's multiple Boomers running around. That's just one of the models. So there were eight Cylon humanoid looking skin job models, of which one of them went extinct ages ago. And so now you're down to seven. And Boomer's one of them. Now, that was in the original, or that was in the reboot, right?
Reboot, right.
And then you've got these other two guys, okay? And one of them is like in normal clothing. He doesn't, well, he's also got the same colored clothes as the other two, because Boomer's in a uniform, in one of the normal colonial uniforms. And then there's another guy standing next to her, who I don't know who that is, who is also in a colonial uniform. And then there's a third guy that has the exact same color as the uniforms, but it looks like a normal shirt.
Right. I'm pretty sure that's Dean Stockwell.
Yeah. And that's fine. You mentioned Dean Stockwell, but quite frankly, he looks nothing like Dean Stockwell. Dean Stockwell was a relatively smallish man. Mm-hmm. On the thin side, because he was a little older when he was in Battlestar. But you're looking at these guys, and they're kind of stocky. There's a scene especially where they're like walking. You see their backs, and they're walking forward. And it's like, those are stocky guys. That's not Dean Stockwell. And it almost looked like all three of them have uniforms at one point. Matter of fact, they all three have freaking uniforms on, in my opinion, in some of the panels. And then later on, you know, when they're doing their kneeling, the one guy obviously has something more like a normal shirt, a non-military shirt. And I'm trying to say, who are these people? Okay, one is Dean Stockwell. Well, what about the other one? Who's the other guy supposed to be?
I don't know.
Because he doesn't look like anybody I saw before.
Definitely doesn't look like Lucy Lawless, so we'll mark that one off.
Okay,
so we know Dean that's not
Dean Stockwell was number one. There was a blonde guy, probably in his late 30s, maybe early 40s, that was number two, and blonde hair, and he was in one of the colonial ships. He was not a soldier. And then Lucy Lawless was number three. There was a black guy, bald, who was number four. There was a guy that looks a little bit like a yuppie, like maybe a lawyer or something. Again, another civilian type guy. He was number five. Number six, of course, we all know, sexy blonde lady who's in Baltar's head. And then Boomer. So that's who we got. And then there's the final five, which is another set of Cylons we didn't know until later in the book. So who is this guy supposed to be? This third guy that's kneeling down for Ibis.
Is it Starbuck's husband?
Doesn't look like him, but maybe.
Maybe that's he was one, right? Wasn't he one of the final five?
He was one of the final five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the final five were Chief Tyrell, Saul Tai, Saul Tai's wife, Ellen, Sam Anders, Starbuck's husband, and then Tori Foster. I don't know who Tori Foster was. I don't remember her. But she was the fifth.
You're reading this stuff?
I'm reading this stuff.
I was like, my God, how do you remember all this?
I don't. Well, I knew Chief Tyrell was a Cylon. I knew Saul Tai was. I didn't remember his wife was, but it's like, oh yeah, I guess I remember that.
Yeah, she comes back and then, because she was dead for a long time.
You're right. And then Sam, okay. And then this last person, I don't remember who that was.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's Sam.
Tori Foster.
I
guess it could be Sam.
Starbucks.
Because there are points in those panels where it looks like, again, standing next to Boomer on the Baystar, it looks like Adama, but without glasses. That looks like Edward James Olmos to me.
Mm.
Especially in that profile. You know, you see the Cylon Baystar.
Yeah, where he's saying,
and then right,
well, that's just not good
exactly.
Enough. Yeah, no, exactly. I can see it.
That looks like Edward James Olmos to me. Anyway. Whatever.
I can see it.
Just a little. There's just a lot of characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, the artwork makes it hard to follow sometimes.
And then when it's blatantly wrong, that's the worst. I mean, are they purposely messing with us?
Maybe that'll. What if that's the joke at the end?
Anyway.
That would be funny if that ends up being a plot point. It's like, why did you think that was Kane? It looks nothing like Kane.
You were messing with you the whole time. It's like Fargo. You know, when the Fargo TV series or the movie, when they say this is based on a true story, it isn't. Mm-hmm. They made it all up. It's not based on a true story. And then in the TV series, which is awesome, by the way, love the Fargo TV series. It's all made up too. But at the beginning of every season, they say this is based on a true story. And it's like, ugh. And then when they had UFOs coming down, it's like, what are you guys messing with us? Anyway, whatever. Anyway, getting back to this. How about the Marines? So there's a spot where Kira happens to bump into Baltar. Happens to be in the hallway. And ends up belting him because she sees it's Baltar and he's out of prison. And then the Marines just happen to be there to take him into custody again. And those Marines, the Marines never looked like that.
They look like Cylons.
They look like Cylons. And no, the Marines were in like black tactical gear with helmets and stuff, but they never had, you know, like normal top of the head helmets. They never had stuff that went all over their face like that. And they sure as heck didn't have the red glowy thing.
And the guns they have look like original series rifles, not something that you would see in the reboot universe.
I agree with that. I mean, they almost look like they're like ray guns or something.
Yeah.
But you know that that's not what the reboot universe did. I mean, they had, well, quite frankly, normal guns, pretty much normal looking guns.
Right. So anyways, I enjoyed these books, but the artwork in all of them have been kind of off. And then especially this one.
Yeah.
Really threw me off.
Yeah. Well, we've gone on and on too much about it probably, but story wise, I think this is all very interesting. I still don't quite know where it's going to end up.
Right. So I did just open up issue 5 and it's the same artist, and Kane still looks like Lauren Green. So they didn't fix it.
They are messing with us. You can't do that for 2 issues. I'm sorry. And not being a joke of some kind.
Right, right. Yeah, so. Anyway. Give us something to talk about next week.
There you go.
All right, okay. Anything else?
Is that it?
That's all I
got to say for now.
The only thing I want to say one real quick, and I don't remember if it was this issue or last issue, but I did like how, what was it, Ty, Classic Ty, was like, why do you need 2 names? You know, my name's Ty.
Exactly.
Not Saul Ty, not Bob Ty. You know, why do people need extra names? I thought that was funny.
Well, not only that, now you got another set of names for when you're flying. Why do you need another set of names for flying?
Yeah, they said that in the, what was the first issue?
Exactly.
Why do they call you Apollo?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my call sign when I'm flying. Why do you need an extra name for when you fly?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I never really thought of Starbuck being his actual name. But I guess I guess that really was his name.
That was his name. Straight from Moby Dick or the coffee company, either one.
That's funny. All right, I don't have anything else.
Cool. Okay, well, we're going to finish it up in the next episode, next thrill packed episode, and I think this will be thrill packed.
I hope so.
How are they going to overcome this evil alien supposed Cylon person?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to finding out if she even is the real mother of all Cylons, her and her husband,
or her race.
Yeah. So she said her husband died, right? That's
Did
part
she?
Of her backstory.
Oh, her whole race. Well, she was stuck for like a. Like, what, 1,000 years and that?
Or longer than that, yeah. Right, but I mean, but she said her and her husband created the Cylons, and then something happened to him, and that's why she's by herself. But I kind of wonder when Iblis showed up, if he was going to be like, oh, are they going to say Iblis is her husband, you know, that he's been? Because he's like the devil, right?
Iblis is the devil.
Yeah, so.
Yep. But I thought it was her race that created the Cylons, and it was her husband that was the champion, or the guy, the person that talked her people into creating Cylons. And she objected, so she finally left, and then she ended up on that planet of the older race.
Mm.
I thought that's what happened, but whatever.
Yeah, we'll figure it out next week.
All will become clear.
Peter David will wrap it all up for us.
He will. We trust him because he is awesome. Okay. All right. Thanks everybody for joining us on the review.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Star Trek Comic Book Review. All Star Trek stories and characters are copyrighted CBS Studios Incorporated. All music, stories, and characters discussed are for entertainment purposes only. You can email us at startcomicbookreview@gmail.com. Visit us at our website, www.stcomicbookreview.com. Subscribe to us via iTunes or friend us on Facebook at first name ST Comic, second name Book Review. See you next time on Star Trek Comic Book Review.
Let's get the hell out of here.